Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast. Welcome back to Paper Pencil Dice. So, last time, our heroes were in the city of Aressa. They had just met up with Lady Madeline the Worthy, and were going through a ritual of sorts with people she referred to as the Inquisitors. Because they are attempting to get a hold of the Draco Stone, and this is her final precaution for that. But before we dive into things, let's do a quick round of introductions with everyone. So first off, Aether, would you like to go and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Brian. I play the role of Aether, I was just going to call him a night elf, but I guess this isn't World of Warcraft, is it? The high elf fighter of the group. I'm hoping, as a fighter that likes to Hulk smash, that there'll be something to smash in this episode, hopefully. Lots of smashing.
Lots of smashing.
Netflix and smash? Oh, sorry.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Up next, Jethal, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Chris. I play
Hi, Chris.
Jethal. I'm the awesome wizard. So, that's me.
Are you, though?
And I am.
I'm he thinks
the
he is.
Best.
We're like, oh, some.
The best. But yeah, this ain't no sweat. We're telling the truth. It's fine. We got this.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
Good thing you're not other Jethal.
Or is he?
Jinx.
Dun, dun, dun.
Up next, Tabitha, would you like to go and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jessica. I play Tabitha, and also Gregory and Francis. I am a halfling ranger.
You guys are doing a fantastic job of introducing yourselves. So we have the night elf fighter, the wizard who thinks he's awesome, and halfling ranger.
What?
Isn't that I'm what awesome. I am?
Yes.
Okay. Why are you criticizing?
Because I was hoping you'd describe something about yourself, not just...
Well, then you have to say you wanted me to describe something about myself. I'm very short, and I have two companions. I love my Francis, and Gregory's here, too.
Ah. Nice. So you pretty much said the same thing, just in a different way.
What do you want me to... Do you want a dissertation about it? I have some really cool arrows that I'd like to
triplicate.
Use.
In triplicate.
You what?
In triplicate. All right. Up next, Toramir, would you like to go and introduce yourself?
What's this with Toramir always being last? I don't get it. Just because it's alphabetically the case doesn't mean it has to be the case. We graduated from elementary school to get away from this.
Indeed.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brandon, and I play Toramir, the dwarf monk. And, telling the truth really isn't hard for Toramir, so... unlike maybe other people we are with.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You're the one who took offense to that, so...
I don't... know what you're talking about.
You got defensive when I didn't call out anyone in particular, just saying.
Well, I take offense when, you know, you aren't clear in what you're saying.
Alright, so.
Do you guys need a room together? Just be alone, work this out?
I think they need a room apart. In the room, so you're kind of in sort of a central, not really a throne room, kind of more like a chamber where like you kind of hear out like advisors and things like that. There's a small table. There's two braziers on either side that have been brought in that are currently lit. Four people in total that are each wearing, they have yellow robes with the hood kind of pulled up in sort of inlays, and the yellow robe is like lines of silver throughout, kind of in a lightning bolt-esque motif. And they each have a holy symbol on chains that hang fairly low, so kind of like lower chest, upper stomach areas, like the height that they hang. Very prominent, they each are holding, or have the symbol as a hand holding a sword with bolts of lightning behind. And they're, one of each pair of the Inquisitors is holding a, sensor? Yeah, sensor. I lost the word for that. Sensor with, like smoke pouring out of it, and they are all four chanting things, and, Lady Madeline says, "All right, which of you would like to go first?"
Fine, I'll go.
I mean,
oh, all right,
go for it, Tabitha.
Please step forward.
Big babies.
As you step forward, the fires in each of the braziers, they were kind of glowing a normal fire color of like sort of orangey red. She looks at you and says, "Please, speak your name, your full name."
Tabitha Leithwalker.
And when you say that, the fires change to a blue color temporarily, and then go kind of like flicker back into the into there. And she nods and goes, "And what do you seek here at Aressa?"
"We are seeking the stone."
She looks at the braziers, and they kind of flicker like a sort of a sickly green. And she says, "It appears that you are not telling the whole truth. You are not lying, but you're not telling the whole truth."
"What was the full name of it?" "It was the Volan?" "No, not Volan.
Draco."
"Draco. It's the Draco Stone."
Okay, she looks over at the braziers again. They glow blue. She goes, "Okay. And to what purpose are you requesting the Draco Stone?"
"To stop the invasion, or the... I don't know if it's an invasion or the release of the stuff."
"The release of the stuff.
What? What's the black ooze? I can't remember the name off the top of my head."
"The Artem Spawn?"
"Yes, the Artem Spawn. The release of the Artem Spawn. We're trying to prevent that."
She looks over at the braziers. They glow blue. She goes, "Very well. Please stand over there."
Okay, I walk over and stand.
"Which of you wishes to go next?"
"Yeah, why not?"
"Please speak your name."
"Well, let me think here. What is my name today? Ah, yes. Aether Solaris."
Okay, they glow blue. She goes, "Okay. And to what do you desire the Draco Stone's use for?"
"To prevent the Artemis?
Artem Spawn.
Oh, yes. Artem Spawn. Yes, we just said it like 10 seconds ago. I totally forgot. to prevent the Artem Spawn from pervading the universe."
And she looks over and she says, "And what do you intend to do with the Draco Stone once the Artem Spawn is contained?"
"Oh, yes, well, I hadn't thought that far ahead. I don't know. We could always find a nice abyss and throw it down. I don't know."
Okay, so is your character telling the whole truth on that?
"He has no idea."
So, okay. So they kind of, it kind of like flickers between green and blue, and she looks at it, squints at you, and says, "You are neither lying nor telling the truth. It is as though you cannot make up your mind, but...
Well, I think we haven't decided what to do past this point. I think this has been our goal, and then what happens beyond that, I'm not sure.
Okay. Please, stand over here with Tabitha. Which of you would like to go next?
I could go.
Okay, speak your name.
Jethal Zahn.
Okay, glows blue. And what do you intend to do with the Draco Stone after the Artem spawn is contained?
I'm not sure we've gotten that far. I do know that we require the stone for both containment to stop the spread of the Artem spawn, but also there is thoughts around whether or not we can use the stones in conjunction with the Artem spawn to defeat Kundal, which is the another goal.
Okay. And is your character telling the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. So then it glows blue. And if one of your allies attempts to use the stone for any form of sinister purpose, what is your intention?
What is considered sinister purpose?
That is for you to perceive.
I feel like that's a relative term. Your definition of sinister purpose could be very different than from mine.
She looks at the braziers and they glow a like whitish orange, like a super bright orange, and she goes, "It appears that you are attempting to avoid answering the question."
Not so much that. Don't take that as me trying to not answer the question. I would just like clarification. If you could give me an example, I would be more than happy to, you know, answer and be if I had a more clear understanding of what you are asking.
The problem with this ritual, and again, do have to move along because it only lasts for a short time, is that it is entirely based upon your perception. So when I use the word sinister, it is as you perceive things to be sinister.
Okay, sure. I mean, if someone were to try and use the stones in any sinister way, I would be using what power I had at that time to stop them. You know, that's been our goal this entire time. We have acquired a few other stones at this point already, and we have already been able to not only secure them, but also keep them safe. And also, we save the Feywild. So, there's also that.
Alright, and they glow blue. And she goes, "Please stand over there with Tabitha and Athir." And she looks directly at Tormir. "Step forward."
Tormir puts down his tea that he's been kind of drinking off to the side. "All right.
Speak your name."
"Tormir."
He kind of like seems confused for a moment, as though there's no last name, looks at the braziers and they glow blue. So he goes, "Okay then. How do you intend to prevent your allies from misusing any of the stones?"
"Honestly, through whatever means necessary." These are powerful devices that, even when used inappropriately by accident, can cause great harm to many people. And it's not something I'm quite interested in.
Okay. As Tabitha's mind flashes back to you guys pressing the giant laser on the front of the ship with one of the stones. And she goes...
So inappropriate.
Both brazers glow blue, and she goes, "Very well. And of your allies, which do you think is most likely to misuse them?"
Oh, gosh.
Nice.
Probably Tegan.
Everyone kind of nods.
Yeah, yeah.
She looks over at the brazers, and it kind of like glows sort of green, flickers to orange, flickers to blue, and then flickers back to green. She goes, "Okay, you are speaking the truth, but it seems as though you were also attempting to avoid the question."
"You did not specify allies. Of those present, probably Aether."
"Me? Well, maybe."
"There was the incident in the lab that I will not soon forget."
"What lab?"
So she looks towards the brazers, and they glow. They kind of switch back to green again and switch back to blue. And she goes, "Very well. Please stand over there with the others." And she looks at the two inquisitors. The four inquisitors, the two that are holding the sensors, they hold them up. And as they finish their chants, the smoke stops emitting from them. I mean, the smoke that's already in the room is there. And they nod, the fires die down to sort of a gentle orangey kind of glow to the wood that's in there, wood and stone. And she looks to you and says, "You've all spoken mostly the truth. So I do not sense any hostile or intentionally sinister intention with the Draco Stone. I do have a concern in that some of you have not thought about what you intend to do with the stones when you are complete with your mission. Even you, Jethal, who intended on using them potentially to face Kundal afterwards, while a noble intent, I do have concern that you may not have thought of what to do even after that point."
"Well, to be quite honest, thinking about what you're going to do after you win is only going to lead to a loss. This is going to be something we're going to have to evaluate as a group once we have completed our task. But until that point, our focus has to be on that."
"Understandably. So, okay. And I have one last question for the four of you, which is, until we brought out the Inquisitors and until we began the ritual, none of you had mentioned the Artem Spawn prior to that point. I ask why that was?"
"To be quite honest, I forgot. I've been very focused on defeating Kundal as a greater evil."
"For me, it was more that Kundal has been the main objective here. The Artem Spawn is, in a way, contained already. We do need all the stones to ultimately help with that. But after we saved the Feywilds, we learn that the stones were a little bit, could be used in conjunction. Sorry. Let me start that over. After we saved the Feywilds, we learned that the stones were going to be required to be able to defeat Kundal in a way that would not also potentially condemn the person that deals the last blow to Kundal.
Interesting.
So, ultimately, the stones, the main goal for me since then has been Kundal. So that's why I did not lie. I never tried to hide it. It just was not my main objective.
Very well. She sits there in silence for a few minutes. There's kind of the noise of the Inquisitors kind of picking up the now cooling braziers and carrying them out of the room. So you just kind of hear mostly silence with some scraping, grunting, and picking up of or grinding of metal on as they're putting things away. And she kind of comes back, looks back up from her short meditation and says, "I accept. You may have the Draco Stone. Roland, can you please fetch it?" Roland goes off and gets it. Or goes off.
Thank you, my lady.
He's not gone for maybe more than 15 minutes.
Thank you.
And then comes back and he's looks a little bit out of breath as though he sprinted to go get it. Which is, I mean, impressive that he sprinted to go get it while wearing full plate mail.
yeah.
But he comes back and he has like this sort of purple velvety pillow with sort of gold trim around the side, and on it is sitting a blue stone.
My goodness.
And he hands the pillow and stone all together to, I guess, who reaches for it first?
I
kind of holds it up before.
It's probably between me and Jethal, let's be realistic here.
Do you guys want to roll?
I step forward to take it.
Do both of you guys try to step forward at the same time?
Oh God, what are we rolling?
Perception, I'll have, because that's the normal one for
initiative. Oh, okay. Nat 20.
Nice.
Of course. As they're holding it out, Tormir, who is like pretty quick, reaches for it and somehow he doesn't come back with it. And looking over,
wait, how far away is he?
I don't know. You tell me. How far away was he?
It didn't matter.
40 feet.
A nat 20.
Okay, so I will let you decide why Jethal got it first. Was Jethal closer?
No. He gets to move first.
Oh, whatever.
I just expected to, he just mage handed it and brought it over to him right out of
there. You go. His That's reach. What I did. Yeah, that's what I did.
Yoink!
I used my magic.
Actually, my that magic hand. I like that answer even better. So Tormir grabs it and he picks the pillow, and as he does, like the Draco just kind of stays in midair, held aloft by some sort of magic, and then just floats over into Jethal's hand.
Tormir just goes over to Jethal, picks him up, and starts to put him in the bag of holding. One way or another, the stone's going in there until we leave.
That's fine, but
guys,
just don't put me in there. Come on.
I mean, I think if this is the problem, we can always have Tormir join you in the bag of holding. It's fine. I'm stronger than him.
Lady Madeline kind of clears her throat to try to get attention back. She's like,
I'm sorry.
I sadly like this a lot. I straighten myself out and I'm like, I'm sorry, my lady.
So as was mentioned earlier, I do have a very busy schedule. Is there anything else that we can do to assist you now that you, other than providing the stone?
Do you have any research material on the Ardmatter or Kundal outside of what we've been able to find so far?
The libraries are open to you if you wish to do research. I do not have an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that's in there.
I was merely looking for potentially any knowledge that was not stashed away in the library.
I personally possess no knowledge. The Ardam spawn, or Ardamatter as you speak of, is not a term I am familiar with. So I personally don't believe I would be of any help. The librarians, if it's not stored in the library, are often some of the best knowledge keepers within the city of Aressa. So if you need additional assistance in finding some of the research, they may be able to aid you.
Tormir's just getting very frustrated.
She looks up and goes, I'm assuming that otherwise you have no further requirements or needs? Is that an accurate statement?
I don't believe so. Thank you for your time, lady.
If you have anything, again, I am more than happy to help assist you in any way that the city of Aressa can. But I will request that you go through Roland here to get that your request to me in a timely manner. Unless you have any other urgent needs of me, I will see you to my next appointment.
Thank you for your quick response to our inquiry.
I
bow to her.
She goes, I understood the urgency in your request, and I am glad I was able to offer assistance. Best of luck, and know that we, and it sounds as though the rest of the world, are all counting on you.
Thank you. And I start walking out.
And you kind of, as you're walking out, you see her looking at kind of one of the aides next to her, goes, so those farmers, and then the door is closed.
Man, I it popped into my frown that when you said the whole world's counting on you, I just thought of Airplane and Leslie Nielsen, and we're all counting on you, and don't
okay,
come surely.
Look, I got your Stargate reference.
Which one? What?
When you said when it popped into my frond.
Nice.
I might have mixed things together. Maybe.
No, I didn't.
I didn't
get it, so it's fine.
Well, that's...
Yeah. So when Jack O'Neill downloads the ancient repository into his brain... he starts speaking the ancient language, and Fran is the
okay. That's why I haven't gotten to that part.
Okay. Oh, it's one of my favorite episodes. I think it's
a really good episode.
My favorite is the Groundhog's Day one.
That one's good.
I haven't watched any Stargate.
So that's episode. That's season two. I think
it's either one or two. It's really early on.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of season one, and I saw the original movie. That's as much as I've seen. I should watch it. I've heard a lot of good things. Anyway,
I don't know. I'd be happy to watch it again with you.
So let's you guys want to play some Pathfinder?
Look, I mean,
nah. So after you've left the chamber, Lady Madeline's chambers, Roland kind of walks out with you and goes, do you need anything else? We still have our guards posted around your airship that you flew in. So I would be highly confident that no one has interfered with it.
Let's see here. Do we need anything else?
Other than maybe research, if people are...
I don't know if we wanted to stop by the library.
It probably would be good to just stop by the library and see if there we can find any information that might help us along the way.
Okay.
That's a good idea. Good job. Good thinking, Tormir.
Is everybody going to the library?
I will go.
How are we doing on supplies? Is that a concern for us?
Maybe.
We have tons of stuff on the airship still.
Do we have enough berries or apples for the trip?
Tormir would urge anyone at this point who would want to leave to try and stick together now that we are so close to one of our end goals.
Okay. I was thinking that if we needed stuff, that this would be the time.
Yeah. Down in the corner of everyone's screen shows up, achievement unlocked, all 5 stones acquired.
This is true. Achievement acquired. Yes, I go to the library, and the first thing I do is I send a message to Master Ganthus.
Okay.
I gotta figure out what it is yet.
Okay, well, while you figure that out, we'll get to everybody else. So you guys, so who all goes to the library? I guess, does everyone go to the library, or does anyone go anywhere else?
I'll go to the library.
I don't know if I have a library card. Do I need one?
I might have to stay outside, since I probably have Francis and everybody with me.
I don't think anybody's watching the camera there, Brandon.
No, see it.
What? What is he doing?
You're just flicking us off with the Infinity Gauntlet.
The All Stones Acquired.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, but I also was like, might as well just go ahead and do a lewd gesture with it, you know.
Might as well, yeah.
Well, when is out.
So, you go to the library. I'm sorry, Athea, did you say you were going to the library or not?
I mean, yeah, I guess. Sure, why not? Okay. I'm bored. I'll just go where the group goes.
Okay, Tabitha?
Yeah, I said I was going to the library. Right. I wasn't sure if Gregory and...
Yeah, they don't seem to have any concerns about them being in the library. They, as far as the librarian kind of looks down at them as animals walking in, looks at you and sees very quickly that they kind of follow you around and doesn't even say anything, just gestures you to come in.
I just nod at her.
Okay. I guess to abstract your library experience a little bit here, so... You may, any of you, at your leisure, may make your choice a single roll of occult, nature, religion, or arcana, depending on what kind of information you're wanting to look up.
Dibs on arcana.
all of you can roll arcana for all that matters to me, so.
I know.
You guys each may make a check of whichever skill you'd like. So, I'm going to go around and you tell me which one you rolled and what you and then what is it that you got. So, first of all, Tormir.
I rolled religion and got a 23 because apparently my dice can only roll 7s tonight.
Fair enough. You'd be very lucky in Vegas, I guess.
Not really.
Jethal, what'd you roll?
I rolled Arcana, and I rolled a 35.
Alright. Tabitha, what'd you get?
I'm gonna roll Nature.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on the wrong page on my...
Oh, no problem.
39, not 20.
So that's a plus 10, so 49. Yeah.
Right. Baby.
And Athir, what did you roll and what are you using?
I'm using nature. I apparently walked into the children's section and was starting to read some of the books there and got distracted. I got a 19.
Okay. So we'll start with you, Athir. You found some pop-up books.
Sweet.
What information are you trying to look up, Athir?
I was just trying to see if there was anything of relevance that would help us, but I wasn't looking for anything in particular, which is why I think my role was so poor.
Okay, so yeah, you kind of are just sort of randomly checking down the different rows of books to see if any of the titles jump out at you. And I mean, you find some that have very interesting titles and might even have something to do with it, but a handful of the ones you pull out, you find actually to be books of fiction. And so you quickly realize that just simply walking down aisles looking at titles of books is probably not the best way to do your research.
Well, I didn't realize the books were going to start jumping out at me. I would have probably readied my sword first.
I'm sorry, but library attendant would be very upset if you cut the books.
All right, so we'll go up the scale here. Toramir, what kind of research are you trying to do?
Information on Master Ganthus or the Artem Spawn.
Okay. So you are able to find some information on Master Ganthus as you're going through, and that he was... He succeeded at creating an army of devils, and he is known as a powerful warlock, but last known he was defeated, presumed dead. That there was a gathering of heroes, or a troop of heroes that allied all together to stop him. It was actually... the Order of the White Lily was predominantly the ones who actually allied to stop him a long time ago. And they, by combining their abilities, and they used a wide variety of different interesting artifacts, they defeated him. When they did return, ultimately, they didn't, they had no evidence of his death, but ever since they came back, they said that he should never be a threat again. Was at least the report from at least a handful of them, and he hasn't been seen since. So there's no evidence to the contrary of that. Some of the other information you find within the religion is that there is some of the rituals that or like some of the ritual books you're able to find that were originally Master Ganthus's on like how to summon different types of devils. How to control different types of devils, also how to use different types of devils to scry through them. So you find a bunch of essentially what probably you assume at this point were books that were taken from Master Ganthus that somehow made it all the way up here to the library, which is also somewhat surprising that as far north as you are, that books that originally were Master Ganthus have made it this far. So. Apparently, the books in this library are fairly well-traveled, you assume. Up next, we will go with Jethal. What kind of research are you doing?
probably around... So, when did we learn about... Nipk and Master Ganthus and stuff? We learned something, and I can't remember what it was now. Recently, around Nipk and Master Ganthus.
Yep. I thought that there was an item that was last known to be in Master Ganthus's possession. Do you remember what it was?
It was a mace, right?
Yep. Did you write down the name of it?
I can't find it.
Hey, he does way better than we do.
He does. He writes that. He writes things down.
Show up.
Zealous Mace.
Let me check my
Mace Windu
notes here.
That's
really
what
quick.
I've written down is. Zealous Mace. It channels one's faith into other items you're wielding.
Correct. Yeah, the zealous mace. Yeah.
Zealous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So I would have basically researched a little bit of that, along with trying to find anything around about Kundal at the same time, because that's still my kind of main objective. Is Kundal.
All right. So the mace. Yeah. You do some research on the mace. You find that it actually gives you a lot of additional strength. And its purpose is to destroy things that are extra planar predominantly, as well as, you know, being able to channel kind of your might through it. So, first of all, it essentially counts as a greater striking weapon, a +2 greater striking weapon. But beyond that, if you kill, an outsider with it, you may pick one alignment factor, whether it be evil or lawful or chaotic or whatever you want. Whichever alignment factor you pick, or if you don't know, the mace picks for you. Have to make a will save. If you fail your will save, the next time within 1 day that you see a creature that matches whatever alignment factor you chose or that the mace chose, you are compelled to strike them down if you fail that will save. Otherwise, if you pass it, then you're fine. And then if you strike that creature down, then you have to make another save, and it's the same DC, but it gets stronger every time. Until you go either more than 24 hours without seeing a creature of that alignment, or if you, fail to strike something down. But it, gains an additional, after each creature that's been slain, kind of in that rolling 24-hour period, it gets an additional +1 to attack and damage for each one that you've slain, so as you keep going, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
All right.
Until you, but if you the one warning that you read in the book about the mace is that if you unlock too much strength in the mace essentially gains full control over you for the remainder of your days, and you become essentially an arm of its zealotry, and it's more the mace in control than you. But it is excellent at killing wide or large armies of things. In fact, there's legends written about the mace that this thing has been used to, you know, by like an individual zealot who was able to single-handedly slay wide swaths of an entire army until.
So that's really something that should not go into the hands of these paladins.
Probably not.
Paladin zealotry? I can't imagine that going bad.
I'm just saying.
Cool. Yeah. That's really it for the mace. And then you were wanting to know about Nipk.
Nipk and yeah, a little bit around Nipk and like. Basically, anything I can gather around the mace, and because the last place it was seen was Nipk.
In Nipk, yes, correct.
Yeah. And then anything about Kundal, too. But
okay. You don't find a lot about Kundal with that. I mean, nothing that you didn't know already, anyway.
Sure.
You, as far as Nipk, you yourself have never been. You know that from your research, Nipk is not very far away from Incanavus, There is very little known about Nipk. There are certain people who have said that they've come from Nipk. But no one has ever, who wasn't from Nipk, has ever gone there and returned.
They don't have very much of a backstory.
Sure.
If you attempt to go there, it has, as far as you might guess, or as far as some of the research guesses, that it has some sort of, it's either something extraplanar or something tied somehow to the Feywild. It's something outside of mortal understanding that, in all stories about the place, it seems not that different than a normal place. Other than the fact that apparently nobody has the ability to visit it, which is just a conundrum that no one's been able to work out, really.
Sure.
All right. Okay. And with the 49 that was rolled, or was it 49?
Yeah, it was 49, because it was 39 with a nat 20.
Okay, so with the 49 in nature, what are you researching, Tabitha?
Oh, man, I've been trying to think about what I want to research the entire time that everybody else was going through. If there are any natural ways of defeating Kundal, or if it's there, if this, not species, but if he has any, like, weaknesses.
Pretty much, I mean, I will give you this one, and I'll give you an additional thing, because you guys actually have already asked this question and gotten the answers before.
Oh.
So the answer to that one is there's three items, the Scorpion Bloodstone, the Scimitar of Thirsting Sands, and the Zealous Mace, that are the three items that are known to have defeated Kundal in the past. So I will give you that information, but that, again, is information you guys already knew, so I will allow you to ask another question if you'd like.
I'm trying to think of...
Would you like ideas for questions to ask?
Yes, please. I've been honestly trying to, like, think about it the entire time.
So, possibly things, especially with nature, what is the true origin or true nature of what the Artem Spawn is, might be a good topic of research.
Let's go with that one. That one sounds really interesting.
Okay. So, what is the true nature of the Artem Spawn? So you find some papers that these are entirely theoretical, because most of the authors of these have only briefly interacted with the Artem Spawn at one point or another. Or have secondhand or even third-hand knowledge of the Artem Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So no actual experimentation has been done with the Artem Spawn itself. It's all conjecture. But they, based upon what they know, is that the Artem Spawn is a... there is another being called the Artematter, which is... It's widely assumed at this point there are some people who have been able to, very, very high-level spellcasters that have the ability to travel not just between planes, but actually between worlds within the same plane, i.e. sort of a space travel, magically.
That's cool.
These are involving certain very specific, not quite airship, but ships that are magically enchanted to be able to travel through space itself. And they, in doing so, they believe that they have discovered the source of the Artem Spawn, which is a not so much a being, although I guess being is technically the correct term, but more of a planet. Pretty much a planet that is itself a being, which is what the Artematter is.
So it's like ego on...
It's ego, yes.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like bad ego?
It, well, it, It's ego in concept, but the thing is, it doesn't seem to have a. It's more of a sort of a force of nature than an intelligent being trying to do things. But sure. Yes, much like the ego from the movie, it does release spawn that are dropped onto a different world.
Oh, is it the stuff that he planted on like the on the earth?
Yes, but it's not. It's essentially just. He's slowly but surely creating more artimatters by it drops a seed onto a planet, slowly consumes the planet, and becomes a new artimatter.
It's like a combination of Zerg, Ego, and Tyranids.
With a little Celestial thrown in. The Marvel Celestial, I should say. It's a kind of a combination of several of those different things. But yeah, it's essentially a small spawn that's dropped off somewhere that, if left unchecked, kind of consumes the entire planet.
Awesome.
And makes another planet-sized being, which then spawns more of them. There's only actually been one full. Apparently, the time under which it takes to consume an entire planet. As it grows larger and larger, its growth slows. So when it's small, it has a very rapid growth, and as it gets bigger, it takes more time to grow. So it takes quite a long time for it to fully consume a planet. The researchers who wrote the books that you're reading, they were only able to find one true artimatter. And the interesting thing is that it appeared to be. It was host to a colony, strangely enough. There was some sort of other sentient being that had settled on it. It was actually using whatever that being was as a form of resources. They never were able to interact with that group, but they were able to observe that from space, that there essentially are people living on the artimatter, but the assumption is that they did not originate there. They eventually made it there on their own. So what is it? It's essentially an interplanetary parasite.
Intergalactic.
So. Do you have any other questions furthering that, or is that are you?
Good is there any way to kill it, or is it just contain it?
There have to be ways of killing it, or else presumably that there would be in every planet within a radius of the artimatter would be also artimatter, and they're not. So there has to be something that's capable of killing it, but they were not able to determine what and. Powerful enough magic can theoretically contain it nearly indefinitely, but they have the belief that there is presumably a method to destroy it, but they have not discovered what that is.
The
last thing that they say in their research is that the fact that there is a colony that essentially appears to be, for lack of a better term, mining an artimatter.
What would they be mining it for?
They don't know. Means that there is some sort of a resource that can be gained from it, or some sort of a use for it. There would be unlikely a reason for a colony to mine something that there's no use for. So.
Hey, I wonder if the stones came from it.
All right. Outside of that, any other questions any of you guys have for me or any other research you guys are aiming to do?
Good on my end.
Okay. I'm good.
All right. Then what's your next plan? By the way, Jethal, what's that sending that you sent?
Yeah.
All right. Well, a one-word sending of yeah.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh God!
It Yeah, I think I would have sent this. So, I sent All Stones Acquired, How is Incarnivus? We have a few stops yet before we can come back.
Okay. You send it off, and you get no reply.
Cool. That's not ominous at all.
Oh, good. Stay tuned for next time.
So about that. So I just get just straight up. I mean, it usually takes him a little while.
Yeah, it takes a little while. So you don't. So normally you get a response back within like an hour. An hour or so passes, because you set that off before you started doing the research.
Yeah.
You finish with the research, and you think back, oh, yeah, I should see when I got back. And you check, and it's been at least a couple hours, and you've gotten nothing back. So you kind of have the thought of, well, maybe give them a little more time. But things seem odd. Like, normally you get a response fairly quickly.
Okay. So I guess by the end of all of our research, I'm a little concerned, and I bring it up to the group.
What do you say to him?
So I sent a message to Master Ganthus, and usually he's very good about responding, and he hasn't responded.
Uh-oh. And where is the Scorpion Bloodstone?
The Scorpion Bloodstone? I don't think he has that one.
It's in the pedestal with him.
Yep. The Centauran and the Scorpion are with him.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
Isn't he in possession of the Scorpion Bloodstone? Technically?
Yeah.
Isn't one of the tools to defeat Khandal the Scorpion Bloodstone?
Oh, no.
I mean, that was one of them that did. Yeah,
I thought it was the sword that could defeat him.
Do you think it might be a good idea to make haste back to Incarnivus?
I mean, we could go back there. We don't have the... unless we wanted to go check out the Nipk to try and find what happened to the Zealous Mace. It is concerning that I have not heard anything back. Usually he's better, and I would think that he'd be happy that we now have all the stones.
How do your messages appear to him?
I guess I don't know how it exactly works on his end. I just write him. Let me look at my item here real quick.
It operates the exact same way as a sending spell. So whatever he writes through the thing, Master Ganthus hears in his head.
Okay, so it's not a thing that can be intercepted.
I wouldn't think so.
Right? I didn't know if like a physical paper...
It's a magical
paper,
thing, so...
Like a physical copy or something that appears so that if he falls into the hands of... Khandal, that he's not spitting out that we have all of the stones, you know, just into his lap.
Right. No, I don't. No, doesn't work like that.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more than. If we think we're fine to go back and investigate, it's probably a good idea.
I think we should get the mace.
I am a little concerned.
I'm trying to remember. Nipk and was kind of like in the same cart or like direction.
Yes. Nipk is close to Incarnivus, if I recall.
Nipk and Incarnivus are very close to each other. They're actually only a day apart by walking. So.
Yep.
So I mean, either way, we're going to be heading in the same direction, so I don't imagine that would create too much of an issue to at least scout out and find out what's going on. Unless we hear from him in time.
Yeah. I know the last time that I checked in on timeframes, as far as containment and so on and so forth, was still, I believe, close to maybe 2 months out by now. Maybe a month.
Yeah, I think last I checked on your chart, you have, and you probably have been keeping track of this as well, most likely, knowing Jethal. You have about 40-ish days still until containment would breach. So not quite a month and a half, but almost.
Yeah. So according to the last communique from him around containment timeframes, we should have a little over a month left. So I think we have some time, especially now that we can move around very quickly. We have some time to be able to, I think, check out Nipk first, and then see what's going on with Master Ganthus.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. We don't have a plan. Yay.
I don't know that I have anything else to do here. Or do we think we are ready to head out, then?
All right, let's get to the ship.
Okay. As you guys are walking through the city towards the airship, you leave the city. I mean, it's people are friendly with you, but it's pretty much the same perspective that the citizens of Aresha have had of you guys since you got here. So more of a cordial, nodding or bowing or things like that you get from people as you leave, but not a whole lot of other interaction. You leave through the city gates, get out there, and you see there are still the guards. Some of them are on horseback, most of them are on foot, standing not too far away from the ship. Most of them have a fairly stoic look on them, a couple look annoyed. And looking up on the ship, you see Barley juggling random items, trying to entertain them, and getting very sad that they're not laughing at his jokes and his antics.
Oh, Barley.
And he goes, "These guys are a tough crowd. How you guys doing?"
Oh, boy.
Doing all right, Barley. How are you?
I'd be better if there were people who would laugh at my jokes, but overall, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I've had people to stand around and who would listen to me talk all day. And, like, one of them just, like, sighs really loud.
What's one of your jokes?
Oh, well, and he starts telling this joke that you realize is probably almost, like, a 45-minute-long joke. It's a story. And he just starts going into it, and you're pretty bored by maybe the first 5 minutes.
Barley, is there an end to this? It seems like this is going on a while.
Oh, here, you want a faster joke?
Yeah, like maybe like a minute or less.
Sure. Did you know that any book can be a mystery book if you don't finish it?
It's a good one, Barley.
Hey, Barley. Why are mountains funny?
What? Why?
Because they're hilarious.
Ah,
all right. That's an actual joke. Let's get going.
I'm gonna remember that one. All right. So where are we going?
I bid adieu first to the, or I tell the guards that hey, we're gonna be leaving.
You should probably tip them for all the torment they've been through.
Nah, it's fine.
Thank Denir. And they, if you try to tip them, they refuse, and they're like,
"Oh no, I don't tip them."
Money bags. How do you think he stays money bags?
There's no tipping here.
Money bags.
So he eventually, as you board the ship, they all leave, and the guards seem immensely relieved to be relieved of their post. You board the ship, and as you get up to the main deck, Barley's like he seems to be just like he runs on attention, and he apparently didn't get the interaction from the people, so he's like overly like trying to entertain you guys. So like you get up there,
oh, God.
He's doing cartwheels and stuff like that everywhere. He's like, "Hey, look what I can do! Hey, look what I can do!"
Barley,
what?
I just need. I understand we were gone for a while.
I know, I missed you guys.
I know we dearly missed you too.
Hey, check this out.
Or at least I did. Hang on. Just sit, stand still for a moment. All
right.
So we need to. I don't tell anyone else, but I need your help in.
Oh yeah, yeah. Super secret. What's up?
Navigating us down to Nipk. Do you know where that is?
I can totally navigate us to Nipk. Where's Nipk?
I thought we were checking on Inconovus first.
What?
No,
what was that, Tormir?
I'm standing right next to you, and you're trying to like whisper talk.
Barley like teleports over right behind you, Tormir, and pokes you on the shoulder. And goes, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but we're supposed to be navigating Nipk, and I don't know where it is. Can you tell me?
Do you know where Inconovus is?
Yeah, I totally do. Where is it?
We'll bring it up on the map.
Oh, okay. And he's like still like despite the fact that you're talking to him in a normal voice, he's still like whispering, like he's telling you a secret the whole time.
Tormir's just, at this point, going ahead and putting the stones in the console. And
all three of them?
Are we putting them all of them?
Yep.
Let's go, boys!
So you put the first two in that were in before. Yes, when the first two in go in, you have that whole the barrel that folds out of the front. You put the Draco stone in. And two more barrels fold out to the left and right side of the front barrel. And also, there are you hear it. You can't really see it while you're on the ship, but things that fold out from underneath the ship, too.
Ooh. I ask computer, what is this? What does the Draco Stone enable?
It doesn't respond. Its name is not computer.
Storm Chaser. Storm Chaser.
Okay, it lights up.
What does this new Draco Stone enable on the ship?
Two operations apparently appear to be identified. Functionality is not known. Name of functions are.
What are the names?
Searing Beam and Dragon's Fire.
Oh no.
Ooh.
All right, we're going to wait a wee bit to test those.
Hey, what happens if you put the Draco Stone in with one of the other, like just individually with the others?
So like if you take the Volan out,
are we testing that right now? Is this what we're doing?
If you guys are curious,
I don't know. I think that's fine. Let's all disengage the Volan Stone.
Okay, you take out the Volan Stone. Whatever happened underneath remains, but all three of the barrels in the front fold in. So both the one that was originally there from the Volan Stone and the other two that folded out just with the Draco Stone. So there are no barrels in the front.
Anything else pop out?
I ask Storm Chaser, what is now enabled?
One module is activated. Appears to be Dragon's Fire.
All right. So Dragon's Fire is underneath. Cool. I put the Volan stone back in.
Okay, and then you get all three barrels pulled out of the front.
Do we try it without the... What's the other stone?
Cygnus.
The Cygnus? Do we try it without the Cygnus?
Sure.
Why don't we get on the road?
Go ahead.
It takes us all of a few seconds to get there.
Barley appears over your shoulder. Jathal goes, "Hey, so those guys that the ones that didn't like my jokes, they also didn't like the ship. So if you fire your ship, I have a feeling they wouldn't like it even more. But I don't know if they can't like it more because they really didn't like it. So maybe they can't like it or dislike it more.
I appreciate it, Barley. Yeah, yes, yeah. We are fully aware
super secret
that they don't like. It doesn't have to be secret anymore.
Okay. So we're just okay.
Yep. I think we're past the super secret stage. You let the cat out of the bag there, but that's fine.
Oh, there's a cat. Oh, then he disappears again.
Amazing. That's fine. Storm Chaser, can you bring up a map of where Inconovus is?
Okay. It kind of holographically projects a map. So originally, you remember everything was green, then things were kind of green and orange, and then yes. now they're green, orange, and blue is kind of different tinges of color.
Oh, we got LGBT cool. lights.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
I mean, RGB.
RGB, yeah. Yes. Great. So. I go and start configuring the teleporter.
Looking at the map, portal. Where you see Inconovus, it's right there on your map, and then you have a pretty good idea, at least from where Hup told you that Nipka was. But there's nothing there on the map.
That's fine. I start setting the whatever it is, not a portal, but I forget what we called it.
Tayseal's gate.
Yeah, the gate. There we go. The gate. I start setting it to not quite, kind of in between Nipk and Inconovus. I don't want to warp right into Inconovus because the last time we were there, it was not great. So. Just not go right in. And then I say, Barley.
He shows up and he goes, I couldn't find the cat. What's up?
That's okay. You don't have to find the cat. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
You can go back and try and find it here shortly.
Oh, okay. But, and he disappears again.
I would just Barley.
Oh, Barley. Yeah. Still haven't found it.
Hey, no, that's fine. I need you to... So we brought up the map. This is where we want to go, and I point.
Okay.
And I go over and I say, so I have this set. I would just like you to double-check my work.
Sure. And he goes over and you're pretty sure that as many things as he has to adjust that you didn't set anything. This would be literally and it's weird because as much of a moron as Barley is, I mean, just his knowledge of this thing is just near prodigy level. He just walks over and goes, oh yeah, you see different hands reaching for dials and switches and things like that without even looking. And he goes, all right, I'll set up. You're good to go. I'm going to go find that cat.
Oh yeah.
And he disappears again.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. See, guys, I had it. It was fine. Well, are we ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready, engage.
I guess.
Make it so.
Make it so, number two. Number one, two, three.
I don't know. Where does Jathal fall in your hierarchy there, Tormir?
He's number one.
I'm technically the captain. So
that he thinks.
I want to see that on the tag. Jathal, technically the captain.
Nope. Not technically, I am the captain. I've got it all set up. and I...
All right.
I'm ready to go.
So, I do have one question.
Yeah.
So, in Star Trek, what are all the times when Captain Picard inputs the coordinates and then pilots the ship?
You know, it's fine.
Like which episode
this is
that?
Different. This is different, though. This isn't the same.
Well, there's the Bynar episode.
Yeah, there you go. See? I don't know.
It'll be fine.
Maybe you should be like number four so you could be Geordi LaForge in like the early episodes.
Nah. I'm good.
You have too much personality for captain. Data, at least, so, you know. But still somehow that's not fair. As interesting. Just kidding. But
oh, no. Craig died.
Rip Craig.
Oh, no.
Rip Craig.
Bye, Craig.
You know, weren't we warned about making successive jumps in quick succession?
I wouldn't say this was quick succession. Also, I do believe Tasteel said that we... With the Cygnus Stone, we have the ability, like, it should be able to recharge it quick enough that it shouldn't be a problem. It was before we told her that we had the Cygnus Stone that she was concerned about that.
All right.
So, you see, when you put the thing is that if with, the Cygnus Stone alone, it would be like a week before you could probably, you know, travel again if it was just using that one stone. Each successive stone seems to reduce the amount that, because they all have, not as much as Cygnus, but they all have the ability to produce some power. So both Cygnus and Volan were pretty well drained and were still essentially recharging from your last jump, and it hasn't even really been a full day. Since you jumped, but no, because you haven't rested, you haven't slept.
That's fair.
Yeah. But Draco is still at full power, so you're pretty sure you could do a jump. But it's, you know, unless you add more stones in at this point, it's probably going to be some time before you could jump again.
Oh, okay. I guess I misunderstood that piece then.
Like, probably not quite a week, but, you know, with all three stones recharging, you could probably maybe jump again in maybe 2 or 3 days, you would guess.
Sure. That's fine. We're going back to where there's going to be 2 more stones, so.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Anyway. Shall we jump?
It's just a jump to the left.
And a step to the right.
Great, honestly, pushed the button.
Honestly, though, I will say before, when Jethal was putting in the coordinates, I'm shocked Barley wasn't just like, move!
He's too polite for that.
Also, Barley wasn't there. He was looking for the cat.
Has Barley double-checked the coordinates?
Yeah, he double-checked them. He reconfigured most of what Jethal.
Okay.
No. He
just
tweaked him a little bit. It's fine.
A lot of it?
I had it pretty much exact. He just had to tweak a little bit so that we wouldn't go splat.
Didn't he also mention you basically didn't have them programmed at all?
No, all right,
let's move on, guys.
So you just barely tweaked him.
You guys take off, and you head out. And the ship kind of lifts off. It, you know, the Tasteel's gate, similar to last time, pretty much takes control of the entire ship for a short period of time as it brings it up, kind of aims it in the direction you're trying to go, casts this sort of web or this projection up that, looks sort of reflective. The best description you can think of is if you were to look at a very large, like the bubble material stuff, how it kind of shimmers in the air and kind of slightly reflective and rainbow hued, like a you know, giant like bubble that you in the real world type thing. So it kind of looks like that, and the ship kind of starts passing through it, and it kind of also is moving over the ship and kind of covering the ship with this sheen, and then everything goes black. And as soon as everything comes up, you find yourself in the air. To the right, I'm sorry, to the left is where Nip should be. You don't really port. See anything. Yes. To port. To the port side of the ship, you are correct, because that is left. You don't see anything where Nip should be, but also you kind of expected that to a degree. If it's hidden, you shouldn't just be able to see it in the distance, in theory, as a city. Although the weird thing is, looking in that direction, you don't, you can see, like, odd behaviors. Like, you see a bird flying through the air, and it just kind of disappears in midair. And then it kind of reappears in midair a ways later type thing.
It's Wakanda.
Pretty much.
And then you look at the starboard side, and wow, why didn't you notice that before? The city apparently is either having one heck of a barbecue or it's on fire. You're not really sure. But we will find out the answer to that, which it is, next time. So, thank you again, listeners, for tuning into this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. What's going to happen in Inconvus? What is happening in Inconvus? And is that the reason that Master Ganthus hasn't responded? We'll find out. But in the meantime, please reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook. You can reach us at our email address, paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. That's pretty much the main ways to find us. But please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. If you have questions or just want to reach out and say, hey, love your podcast, or hey, hate your podcast, or whatever, we'd love to hear from you regardless. Also, if you have the chance to rate our podcast, we would love it if you rate us, give us a 5-star rating out there, and tell your friends to rate us 5-star, even if they haven't listened to it, just because it's awesome, and the more ratings we get, the more people see it. So, otherwise, in the meantime, keep gaming, friends. Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper Pencil Dice.